I've used this scripture several times before. I like this scripture. This is just one of those portions of scripture that just speak fathoms, even though they're just small, just a few words. In Amos chapter number 3, and verse number 3 tonight is where we want to take our text from. Praise the Lord. How many in here tonight want to walk with Jesus? I got about a half a response. Praise the Lord. I take it as a unanimous desire, or you wouldn't be here tonight. It's one of those loaded questions. You already know the answer before you ever ask it. Everybody in this house tonight wants to walk with Jesus. Well, this scripture is very enlightening. Amos chapter number 3, verse number 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. You may be seated again tonight. I've got other scriptures I'm going to share with us tonight, but this is the one that I want us to begin to meditate upon. This is the one I want us to begin to think about. Amen. Let the Spirit of God begin to speak to us. Amen. So we've already asked the question, how many want to walk with Jesus? It was unanimous. Everybody wants to walk with Jesus, but we can't walk with Jesus unless we're in agreement with Him. How in the world are you and I going to get into agreement with Jesus Christ? Guess really the question that I'm after is, who's going to have to change so we can get in agreement with Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ going to have to change His word? Is He going to have to change His ways so that we can walk together? Or is it going to become my responsibility to begin to change my ways so that I can be in agreement with Jesus Christ so I can walk with Him? Woo, hallelujah. Because it's not just a whim or a wish that takes me into the place where I begin to walk with Jesus Christ, but it is a determination and a consecration and a decision that puts me in agreement with Jesus Christ so that I can walk with Him and begin to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ. We emphasize a relationship with Jesus Christ. But do we really understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And this relationship with Jesus Christ is not just a camaraderie relationship, but it is a love relationship. It is a giving relationship. It is a relationship that I must cultivate. And that's what I want to preach on here tonight, is spiritual cultivating. Spiritual cultivating. Anybody in here ever planted a garden? Awesome. So you did a little cultivating then. Anybody in here ever pulled weeds out of a garden, run a tiller through the garden, even after you planted it? Did anyone in here not pull weeds or not run a tiller in your garden after you planted it? And may I ask, what did become of your garden? Not much. Not much. I have literally seen in the fields of our farm that I was raised on at different times where the weeds were far more in number than the crop that we planted. Because the rains happened at a wrong time and we couldn't fall in after the crop had grown and cultivate it to knock all the weeds down, and the weeds outdid the crop. Now that's not only in the natural realm, church. That is also in the spiritual realm also. Because to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to cultivate that relationship. In other words, I'm going to have to weed out things, sometimes even people that are weeds attacking my spirituality, trying to choke out my spirituality. Spiritual cultivating is not an option. I don't know why, but here lately, it's just been really rolling in my heart and rolling in my mind how everybody thinks everything about Christianity is options. Options. Well, I can do this, but I don't have to do this. And I can do this, and I don't have to do this. And we're looking at the options. Well, what is it I have to do to go to heaven? People that are looking for that kind of option don't really have a desire to go there. And they really do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, because if they did, they wouldn't be asking that question. They'd already know what it takes. It takes full surrender to go to heaven. It takes Jesus Christ and everything He begins to show me to go to heaven. It takes me walking in the light as He's in the light to go to heaven. It's not a matter of when I got saved. It's a matter of, am I saved? Woo, hello, praise be to our God. And so cultivate in the crop realm, we all understand it, we've talked about it. It's preparing the ground for the crops or gardening, breaking up the soil for preparation for sowing and planting. But I want to move down to where the cultivating definition is trying to acquire or develop quality and sentiment and skill. Trying to win the friendship or favor of someone. And here's the one I'm after here tonight. Applying oneself to improving and developing one's mind or manners. Whoa. Brother Pepper's going to preach about manners tonight. Woo. Oh. Oh. Wow. Could we cover some territory about manners tonight? Jesus. We're not going to dwell long, but I want you to understand manners cover a great territory. And before we meet Jesus Christ, usually our manners aren't very well. And after we meet Jesus Christ, they must become better or we're not following Him. Because I believe 100% the greatest man with character was Jesus Christ. The greatest man that had manners or mannerism or the way to walk on the face of this earth was Jesus Christ. And so don't pull this fade on me and say that's just the way you are, because if it's not a good manner, it needs to change. Woo! That's not really what I have to say. That's what our King has to say. That's what His Word declares. Our conversation or our lifestyle has to line up with the lifestyle of the world, of what I think a lifestyle ought to be. No, it has to line up with the lifestyle of heaven. The Bible declares you and I that are believers as citizens of heaven. Now, we all understand citizenship in the United States, of what we've got to do to maintain that citizenship. You have to have allegiance to your country. See, that's why these folks that don't want to pledge allegiance to a flag, pledge allegiance to our country, they don't need to be living in our country. It's not that I want to be mean, cruel, or you know, to them or judge them. It's just if they're not planning on being in allegiance to our country, they do not need to be here. Our country was founded upon men and women who pledged their allegiance to this country. We have the freedoms we have, and we have the liberties we have, because men were willing to stand up in allegiance to our country and lay their lives down that we could still be free. So don't talk to me about not pledging allegiance to our country, because if you don't, you don't really have a say. Shouldn't have a vote, and really shouldn't be living here, because you're not really grateful for what this country can do for you. Hello, that's free. Amen. Cultivating. What I'm after here tonight is cultivating the Spirit's companionship. Even in our companionship on this earth. Our husband and wife companionship. Men finding wives companionship. There's things that have to be done so that it can be done properly, so that it can be done in order, that it can be done decently. There's always a right way to do everything under the sun we live in, live under, the earth we live in. God didn't wake up one day and say, "Oh, I forgot one." There's always a right way to do everything that needs to be done. And it's up to you and I as believers to pursue a relationship and a companionship with the Spirit of God, which means we are building a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're building a relationship with God the Father. But the Spirit of God is the avenue whereby it is accomplished. And so, we need to begin to cultivate, apply oneself to improving or developing our mind, the way we think, or our manners, the way we act. In other words, if you are not aggressively seeking to change your life, it will not change. If you are complacent where you're at in your walk with God, you will never change. But if you are desiring to improve your relationship, if you are desiring to improve your behavior, if you are desiring to improve your walk with God, then you're going to have to start cultivating. Now, does anybody remember the fun that it was to pull weeds in your garden? I can remember as just a young boy, Titus's age. I mean, our garden wasn't great big, but it wasn't real small either. And it would become my chore to go out there and search for weeds and pull the weeds by hand. I've even went out into large 20-acre, 30-acre fields and pulled weeds by hand. You know, it's a long ways down a row in a 20-acre field. And you go down one row and you pull all the weeds you find, and guess what? You turn around and you go down another one until you've made yourself. The glorious thing about this, if there was any glory about it, I was after those weeds that were standing taller than the crop. See, when a crop gets so big, I'll just use soybeans for example. When soybeans get so tall, they don't hardly get this tall anymore. They used to. I mean, I can remember times years ago when we had soybeans that stood this tall. I could walk out in them and they would be chest high. I may have been small, though. I don't know. Praise God. Woo. No, everything used to grow bigger. Things don't grow near like they used to. But once that crop gets so tall, then the shade of that crop keeps the lower weeds from growing. Anybody's mind moving right now? The stronger you become, the taller you become in Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him, all those little things don't bother you anymore. They don't hinder you anymore. You're walking in victory. But every now and then, one of those little ones has been neglected, has been ignored, and it becomes a tall one. I got news for you. Big weeds are hard to pull out. Grab a hold of. Pull it out. It's got a root system on it. Big ball about that big around. Roots have been running out. But I had to pull them. What I'm trying to get across to our minds here tonight is cultivating a relationship is no easy matter, but it is well worth the effort we put forth to find that strength, that love, that power in our lives. Hallelujah. We've got to cultivate the Spirit's companionship. He is the comforter. He is a person. That means there can be a relationship. Michael is a person. That means I can have a relationship with Michael. I can talk with Michael. I can wrestle with Michael. I can play foursquare with Michael. I can play basketball with Michael. I can sit down with Michael and we can talk about derby cars. It's a relationship. I can communicate with Michael. I can communicate with Jonathan. I can communicate. Are you getting the picture? Do you communicate with God? Do you talk with God? What do you do when you pray? Do you talk with God like He's listening? Or do you run through your ritual of prayer and you're done? Cultivating companionship. Leaning. We sing that song, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Do you know what it is to lean on someone? Trusting them to be there when you need them? Or are you always afraid He's not going to be there? I trust you understand that if you call Brother Pepper and you need help, Brother Pepper will find out what he can do to help. I may not be able to always do what you want done, but I will always find a way to help. And if I can't do it personally, I'll find somebody to help me help you. But sometimes I'm tied up. I can't be there at that moment. But there's someone I can call that I lean on, that I trust in, to help me. But most of all, what I want you to learn is to lean on Jesus Christ and let Him help you. Let Him come. Let Him lead. Let Him guide. Let Him renew our minds. I like what Sister Lindsay was saying about fear, doubt, unbelief. Just as sure as faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, doubt comes by hearing and by the world's ways. The worldly wisdom, the worldly doubt, carnality. All doubt comes from carnality or the world or the devil. Doubt doesn't come from God. The only thing that comes from God is faith and assurance and comfort and power. But if you're not walking in that, then you're listening to the wrong voice. Because we are listening, Sister Lindsay, to something. Somebody's voice. I want to build that companionship with the Holy Ghost where I can begin to listen to God's voice. Whoa, and know God's voice and walk with my God. Oh my, can two walk together except they be agreed? Hallelujah. So it's evident if I'm walking with my God, then my God is going to begin to show me the way He's walking. Where He's walking. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. This is the greatness of that salvation. And this is just a small glimpse into the greatness of that salvation. Because now you and I, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that finished work of Calvary, can build this companionship, can build this relationship, and can talk with God, and God can talk with us, and we can be strong, and we can know our God. So we can do great exploits. Not always be asking for forgiveness. Wow. What kind of army always asks for forgiveness? That's it. A weak one. A weak one. The army of the Lord should be showing the world the way to walk with God. Not always asking God for forgiveness because I'm not walking with you. Woo! Don't misunderstand this statement here tonight. Because there are times we get confused. There's times we heed the doubt. and we mess up and we fail and we think wrong and we do wrong. And He's just and faithful if we'll confess that we thought wrong and we did wrong. We'll confess our sin. He's just and faithful to forgive us our sin. And when He does that, He's hoping we have just learned from our mistake. Because we have repented of it, that means we've learned from it and we're not going there again. How many times do you have to go somewhere before you realize that's not where you need to go? Some of us it takes once. Some of us takes twice. Some of us takes three times. Some of us takes four times. Some of them spend a lifetime there. They don't need to spend a lifetime in one area of your life. Woo! When there's all power in heaven and earth, they're available for us if we so choose to improve our walk with God. Hallelujah. Woo, my spiritual cultivating. I'm not going to get through this here tonight at all. Hallelujah. This may be a two or three part message. Praise God. So we've got to cultivate that Spirit's companionship. We've got to begin to cultivate our glorifying of God. Our glorifying of God. Romans 15 and 6, it says, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, it says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus Christ has now been glorified. He has given the Spirit of God to those that believe on his name. It's not an automatic transition. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. That's the starting point. Then you need to be baptized in the Spirit of God. That's a growing point. Then you need to learn to walk with your God. That's the learning life. Hallelujah. There's points that must be obtained and points that must be acquired too. And then once you hit that point, then it's a lifetime of improvements. Woo! Now some ladies would love that. A lifetime of improving my home? Redecorating my home? Woo! What woman wouldn't want to redecorate their home on a continual basis? Woo! But let's take it farther than that. Hallelujah. What about redecorating our heart? Redecorating our mind? How many find joy in changing your mind? Woo! Oh, church, think about it here. Jesus must be glorified. We sing about it. I will use my voice. I will use my lift my hands to glorify our God. There must be then a dedication of ourselves to the glorifying of Jesus. When you and I begin to dedicate ourselves to the glorifying of Jesus Christ, in other words, purpose in our heart that I won't sin against God. Purpose in my heart that what I do will bring glory to His name. What I say will bring glory to His name. My manners will bring glory to His name. When men see my life, will it bring glory to His name? I realize there are some people that are never going to look at your life and glorify God. The devil's not going to look at your life and glorify God. But there are men and women that are hungry and thirsting after God and His kingdom. And when they see your life, They begin to think, God, I found someone who is striving to serve the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah! Glorifying Jesus Christ, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah! This is how we build and cultivate that companionship, that relationship with God. And we cultivate being spiritual. How many realize the opposite of spiritual or the counterpart of spiritual is carnal? The carnal mind is an enemy of God. This is where doubt comes from. This is where fear comes from. This is where unbelief comes from. See, that carnal mind, what is that? That's that natural mind that's earthly. But see, we get a new creature created at that born-again experience. It begins to give us a spiritual mind. And now the battle's on. To walk after the Spirit and not after the carnal mind or the flesh. Because those that walk in the Spirit will be victorious. But those that walk in the carnal mind will be defeated continually. We've got to understand, which one do I want? Where do I want to dwell? Where do I want to stay? Because just because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior does not mean you are still are not a free moral agent. You've always got a choice in the matter, and your choice is going to determine what matters. Woo, praise God. And so we see, then I must cultivate that Spirit's companionship. I've got to cultivate on improving my glorifying of God. Glorify, because the more I glorify God, what is this a result of? This is a result of the Spirit of God flowing like that river in my life. See, it's one thing for the Spirit of God to fill me, but I'm not a river if I'm just filled, am I? You know, if I didn't bring this illustration, but if I brought a pitcher up here and I begin to pour water in it and I stopped right before it started flowing out, would it be flowing water? No. And so, when the Spirit of God begins to fill, it hasn't flowed yet, has it? Do you know the difference between a pond and a river? Have you ever thrown something out in the pond to watch it? And it just sets out there, floats. The wind's blowing, it'll move a little bit, whichever way the wind's flowing. But really, generally, it's just going to sit out there, float. No movement. But have you ever thrown anything into a river? What happens when you throw something into a river? It goes and it's gone. Glory. You want to get rid of that old habit? Then get in the river of God. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of God not just fill you till you feel Him, but begin to overflow in your worship, in your praise, in your magnifying of God, to where it becomes a river of living water flowing, hallelujah, through your soul. And guess what? When that old thing, that old habit, just throw it in the river, hallelujah, and it will be gone. Why do you think the enemy wants to stifle praise and worship of God? Why do you think the enemy wants to hinder people from allowing their soul to magnify the Lord? Because he knows he can keep them locked up right where they're at. And there will be no improvements going on. But an always continual battle, fighting. Depressed, discouraged. Wow. that river's flowing. You can take that discouragement that tries to come and just chunk it in the water. And it goes out. What is that? That's walking in the Spirit of God. That's walking in the Word of God. That's walking with God. You're agreeing with God. Discouragement is not of God. It's real. It comes. But it's up to me to throw it in the river. Woo, hallelujah. Give it to God. That's the terminology we use. Give it to God. Give it to God. It's kind of like we put that little rubber band on it. We throw it to God. Or smack, right back in our hands. All right, we throw it to God. Smack, right in our hands again. All right, you're going to have to take two hands now. Of the Spirit. Does anybody know? It's the Word of the living God. Hallelujah. You're going to have to let the Word of God make the final decision in your mind, in your heart, and in your soul. And then that will be when it's gone. It will be gone. Did you get that? It'll be gone. Woo, hallelujah. There's no other way. It'll be gone. Until you're ready for it to be gone. That's when it'll be gone. What are you doing? You're cultivating. No other way for that weed to be gone until you grab a hold of it. Pull it up by the roots. Throw it in the river. Spiritual cultivating. Glory to our God. You see, when we begin to dedicate ourselves with that fervor to God, the Holy Ghost will become the aggressor. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. As long as we're just sitting on our duff wanting God to do something, there ain't nothing going to be done. Lord, I sure would like Lucifer. Oh, God, I'm tired of this. I've had this in my life way too long. Oh, God, send somebody to help me. Here we sit. Oh, how many times? Just think about how many times you said, oh, God, I need help. Send somebody to help me. I need somebody to talk to. Send somebody to help me. It's Jesus. And until you get up and go to Jesus, praise God, until you get up and go to, when you get up and go to Jesus and you're ready, once again, I'm repeating myself, but to pluck that thing up by the roots and throw it in the river, it ain't going to happen. But the minute you determine in your heart and in your mind, there is going to be a power come from above, and it's going to empower you. You're going to grab that thing, jerk it up like it's nothing, and throw it away. All because you made the choice. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost then becomes the aggressor. And he will seek to know you. He will seek to raise you. He'll seek to illuminate you. He will fill you to overflowing. He will bless you. This is where it's at, church. Everybody's wanting that blessing of God, but they're not wanting to do spiritual cultivating in their lives. And thus they settle for what I call carnal Christianity, where you go from just feeling good to feeling good to feeling good. And of course, you realize in between all those feeling goods, you felt miserable. That is not the Christian life Jesus Christ died on the cross for. He died on the cross so that you could have power. I could have power in my life as I build my relationship with Him, spiritual cultivating, as I begin to strive to improve my walk with my God. We got too many people that just don't want to improve their walk. They like the blessings of God that everybody else prays down, but they themselves pray hardly. That's not a desire to improve. A desire to improve, you will find yourself in God's Word. You will find yourself in prayer. You will find yourself in praise and magnification and adoration of your God, because that's where you want to be. You want to be right in the middle of the presence of your God. Woo, hallelujah. Glory. Psalms 25 and 10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Paths of the Lord. This is where God walks. Do you and I walk in mercy and truth? We learned this morning in Psalms chapter 91 that truth will be our shield and buckler. Whoa. Truth will protect us from error. Truth will protect us from sin if we walk there. Where are you walking at, church? Where are you walking at? I mean, you know, I hesitate to do this. I may fall and break my leg, but you know, you can walk right next to the world and still not fall in it. Whoa, or you could walk way over here, and I know I'm not going to fall now. Ooh, hallelujah. Where are you walking? Where are you walking? The paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. That means God in his mercy will always reveal his truth to you and I so that we can overcome. Right in the middle of every temptation, did you know that the Spirit of God will bring truth? And if you will allow that truth to be your shield and buckler, you will step away from that temptation. But if you'd rather have what you want, you're going to fall right into it. You're going to fall right into it. See, there's no easy way to overcome, church, is what I'm trying to preach to you tonight. You do not overcome by doing nothing. If you do nothing, you're going to fall, you're going to fail, and you're going to be asking for forgiveness. But if you rise up and purpose in your heart to begin to cultivate, to begin to improve, to begin to read God's word for improvement. Don't raise your hand, but how many times you just find yourself reading God's word so you can say you read with God's word? Because we know it's the right thing to read God's word, so we got to plug it in somewhere. And then we can say, yeah, I read it today. But did you read it with improvement on your mind? God, show me where I need to walk. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and I will walk therein. Ooh, hallelujah. And so we see then we've got to begin to build that relationship, cultivate that relationship, cultivate that righteousness. You know what righteousness is? That is just simply defined as loving your neighbor as yourself. How many love mercy? Once again, that's that loaded question. How many show mercy? I'm just going to leave that one where it lays. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Praise God. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. When we get to heaven, we'll all be glad. Does anybody know your word? You do, don't you? It don't say that, does it? It says, in this present world. Dimensions. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Notice we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Three dimensions. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three dimensions. Temptation comes through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Can come to any human being. But if I'm listening to the grace of God, I'm going to begin to live soberly. That's talking about the self-life, the self-mind, Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary. Is he just Brother Pepper's adversary? Am I the only one that falls under the attack of the enemy of my soul? No, he's your adversary. Just as sure he's my adversary. He's the adversary of all believers. But it says be sober. What's that mean? Well, number one, don't be drunk. That's one reason why we do not partake of alcohol. Don't be drunk. That's one reason why we don't do drugs. Don't be drunk. Be sober. In your right mind. In your godly mind. In your word transformed mind. Be sober. Keep yourself alert to what's going on in your life. Keep yourself alert to how you treat people. Keep yourself alert on what you think about. Keep yourself alert at what you say with your tongue. Sober. Alertness. Wise. Woo. Right now. Not later. Right now. And especially in the moment of temptation. What is temptation? That's when somebody treats you like dirt. Talks bad about you. And you want to turn around and talk bad about them. You're in the middle of temptation. And the sober mind and the alert mind says, oh no, we don't operate that way. That's not Christ-likeness. I've got to put it down. I've got to stop it. I can pray all day long, Jesus, stop this. And he ain't going to stop nothing until I'm ready to stop it. And the moment I say, this is done, it's over, I'm not doing this, then he'll show up and say, you've got the power to do this. You've always got to make the decision first. Write this down somewhere in the cover of your Bible. Anytime you're going to get anything from God, you're first going to have to make the decision of faith. And the moment you make that decision, however, wherever, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, somewhere in the midst of you, you're going to make that decision. You're going to do it God's way, and then he'll show right up, and you'll get it done. But until you make that decision, you have not invited him in his power. Write that down somewhere, church. Because we got too many people wanting that power of God to deliver us without making a decision of improvement. And it will never happen. Spiritual cultivating is work. It's work. And if you don't have a mind to work, you're not going to be very victorious. You're just not. And I'm not trying to ridicule or demean anyone. But the reality is, if you do not have a mind to work, you will not be victorious. Because it takes great effort to make those decisions. And when those decisions are made, all heaven comes to your aid. Peter made a decision, didn't he? He walked on that water because the Lord said, come. Oh, wow. What are you going to do when Jesus says, come? Come worship. Come praise. Come run. Come dance. Come magnify my name. Come lift your voice. A loud noise unto God. Shout. Come shout. What are you going to do when he says, come? You going to be like that 11 in the boat? I ain't getting out there. I ain't doing that. Or you going to be like Peter? Because Peter wanted to go. He was scared to go. But the Lord said, come. And so he went. And he was doing fine. Until he got to thinking instead of following. And he began to sink. And that's when then the Lord. So this is what I want you to get from this story. You're going to have to come. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to step out. You're going to have to be obedient. to when he calls. Because it's just going to be an unction, a still small voice. Say, come. Run. You're going to have to step out. You may step out. I'm serious, church. I've done this before. I've run around a building. I've come to a corner, and my feet just started sliding right out from under me. It was a sight to see, I'm sure. I couldn't see it. I could feel it. I mean, it was a sanctuary about this big. And, man, I was younger then. And, I was just running, praising God. I come around that second lap, and I come around there just like where the altar is. And I was leaning hard, and my slippers, that's why I wear tennis shoes now. No, praise God. My slippers started, I mean, my feet just started. That was just narrow. I went down. I was like this. I didn't make a mistake. Where'd that doubt come from? It's going to come, church. But the Spirit of God will be right there, just like Jesus is right there. No, you didn't make a mistake, Peter. Come on, let's walk on this water. Woo! Glory. How many love these steps right here? I don't know if you ever watched me, but I watched them steps. Now at my age, at 59, when I come up them steps, I'm watching them. I'm thinking about it. There was a day in my life, I just run right up and run them down. No big deal. I mean, you know, John could run up and run down them. No big deal, you know. I watched them steps. I was preaching in a church, didn't know anybody, out in the panhandle of Texas. And I'm preaching. The people don't know me. I don't know them. We're singing. We're praising God. I don't know if the kids remember this or not. And its sanctuary was about this wide, but it was about twice the depth. And this is why our altars are over there. Because their altars were right here, in front of every aisleway, in front of the stairs. And the Spirit of the Lord just began to move, and I took off running again. I'm running. I run all the way down that side. I thought it would never end. It was a long ways. But I'm praising God, magnifying God. God is trying to help this church. I'm running. I run all the way down. I go all the way over to this aisleway. And I begin running down this aisleway. And as I'm running back towards the pulpit, that's when I realize there's an altar across here. I just kept running. I run. I hurdle that altar. I come down. Not everybody's going to be able to see this. I come down on that step like that. Just like that right there. I don't know if everybody can see it or not. I come down on that step with my toes. After running full speed around this church, flying over an altar. Tell me what's going to happen if you hit a step like that. Uh-uh. My toe hit that step. I could feel my foot going down, Sister Cisneros. Fear was gripping my heart. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just put it like I stepped right on a rock and shot right up them stairs. Whoa! Ye see, you've come way too late to try to convince me that kind of worship is wrong. Because he's always there when he instigates it. He's always there. And he will be with you. Even when you begin to falter or fail, he will still lift you up. I'll never forget that in my entire life. Whoa! How God did that for me. Because I was in pursuit of obedience to him. You see, sometimes these bodies aren't able to do, but God's able to perform. Those that know their God will do great exploits. It means he'll be with them. I've got to move on here. This is taking way too long, but I want to emphasize here soberly, that's me. That's keeping me in line with God righteously. That's me treating other people right. Treating other people as I want to be treated, not as other people treat me. Amen. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That second commandment. And godly, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy mind. Godly is my relationship with God. Righteous is my relationship with the world. Soberly is me personally keeping the carnal old man mortified. Dead. Mortify the deeds of this body. That's a commandment from God's word. That means it's me who has to choose to die. And the moment I choose, once again, comes down to my aid and my help. Hallelujah. Making our thoughts that clean sanctuary for God. Getting in God's word. We've already mentioned that. In his word, we'll find the Spirit of God moving, inspiring, and revealing because he's the writer of it. Anybody knows the word, it's the Holy Ghost, because he's the one that inspired the writers to write it. And that same inspiration, that same power, that same leading ability is available for you and I today. You see, it was only available to certain prophets throughout the ages, and God inspired them to write. But now it's available to all believers to be inspired, not only to write, but inspired to live. A living sacrifice. An epistle read of all men. Woo! Spirit of God. Writing. Rewriting. It's an old song. It says, mercy rewrote my life. Woo! Are you ready to have your life rewritten? Are you ready for improvements? Are you ready for adjustments? Are you ready for this cultivating process going on in your life? Hallelujah. We must cultivate his presence. God came to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Oh, wow. Isn't that awesome? God gave him directions. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. This is one of the scriptures that has really helped and encouraged me throughout these 17 going on 18 years. Calvary Light Ministries, Calvary Light House Church. It's just, you know, when you make that step of faith, you know God spoke, you know God said, this is what I want you to do, but then here comes the doubt, here comes the fear, here comes the unbelief. Is this really where I'm supposed to be? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? This is the scripture that would always come to my heart. Have not I commanded thee? It just that right there, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. I should have not doubted. I know you commanded me. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But then he tells us more. Be strong. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. You realize that the captain of the host of the army was talking to one of the greatest warriors of Israel, but he was encouraging him not to be afraid. Do you realize courage doesn't mean there's an absence of fear? I'm sure there's times on that battlefield there was fear that would grip Joshua's heart. But courage would rise up because of these words. And he would press on knowing God was with him. Woo, hallelujah. Glory. Got to cultivate his presence. I got to want to be there. I've got to want to be in the presence of God. If I don't want to be there, I'm not gonna be there. Woo! Hallelujah. Cultivating. Cultivating. Praise be to our God. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Praise God. Where could I go? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Needing a comfort for my soul. Needing a friend who'll save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where do you go when doubt comes at you? Where do you go when fear comes knocking at your door? Where do you go when discouragement tries to grip your mind and grip your heart? Where do you go? You got to cultivate. You got to realize doubt, fear, and unbelief are the weeds of the carnal mind, the weeds of the enemy, the weeds of the world. And I've got to go to the Lord. I've got to pluck my weed and take it to Jesus. Whoa. When I was pulling those weeds out of that field, Dad wouldn't let me just pull them and drop them. I had to pull them and take them to the end of the field and get them out. Because if I just pulled them and dropped them, all those weed seeds would have been right there for next year. People don't do this anymore. Very few people garden. Even in the farming industry, even in the farm of my dad anymore, it's just you do as little as possible. Because once again, they don't yield near like they used to. And then fuel's higher. And so, and there ain't no youngins to go out there and pull weeds. It's us-ins. And we don't want to pull weeds. Whoa, that's a whole new story right there. Glory. Hallelujah. Spiritual, cultivating. Believe it or not, I have more, but I think I have shared enough here this evening for us to get a big picture-rama that if I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to have to roll up my sleeves, so to speak, and be ready for the improvements that he wants to begin in my life. And I'm going to have to get down on my knees or sit down in my chair. And when the Spirit of God begins to show me my places of improvement, I'm going to have to start working on them. There's no other way it's going to happen. I'm going to throw this in here. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to throw it in here. I guess because I'm on top of it at the moment. We talk about it all the time, especially at the first of a new year. And I'm closing. Sister Lindsay, you can come back to the piano. But that proverbialist diet time. I don't know about you, but I gained 13 pounds between Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year's. I don't know about you, but it happens every year for me. Come January, guess what time it is? Time, Sister Donna. It's diet time. Well, I can proudly stand here and say I've lost 2.5, almost 3 pounds this week. But you want to know how I did it? I put the same effort into not eating as I put into eating. Think about that one for a moment. I mean, what do you do at a Thanksgiving dinner? You sit down and you eat and eat and eat. Oh, man, it's dessert time. And you eat and you stagger out. Oh, I shouldn't have ate that. Whoa. So how do you lose weight? You don't eat and you don't eat and you don't eat, and you don't eat. And then you step out and say, man, this feels good. Feels better than I felt in a long time. Because I put the same intensity in not eating as I did in eating. Do you know the Bible says that now that you've come to the Lord, just as much as you yielded yourself to sin, as much as you pursued your sin, pursued your pleasures, now yield your members unto righteousness. Put that same effort, that same desire into serving God, seeking God, and improving your life in God. You see, I don't care what people try to tell you, this is the only way you're going to live a victorious Christian life. This is the only way it comes, church. They can doctor it up, water it down. They can put flowers all around it and try to make it as glamorous as they want to. The only way you're going to live for Jesus is if you're ready to die to yourself. That's the only way you're going to live for Jesus. It's the only way. It's the old crossroad. It's the way Jesus Christ set the pattern for. Lest a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Why would I want to go anywhere else? Why would I want to follow anybody else? Lord, you have the words of eternal life. God of heaven. God of heaven. Spiritual cultivating. It's got to happen. It's just time. Let's stand together. It's just time, church. It's time. You know what happens? At home, if work details going on, where it's time for PE and these sleeves roll up, you know what's fixing to happen? Something's fixing to happen. Work is fixing to be done. Whether it be in play or whether it be accomplishing a task, it's fixing to happen. We're not just thinking about it anymore. We're not just contemplating about it anymore. We're fixing to get it done. I remember Brother Cisneros over at the old church tearing down that old trailer house. Coming around the corner of that church, and there sits that old trailer house. And I still see you wearing your hat and saying, this is going to be a lot of work. Then he turned around. Let's go. Let's get it done. And we all just flogged that trailer house. And by the end of the day, it was like a bunch of termites had gathered around that thing. And all that was left was the metal. Everything else was gone. You got a problem in your life, every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. You got a problem in your life, something you've been battling a long time. I realize some folks in here don't have long sleeves on. You can't roll up your sleeves, but it's not a matter of physically rolling up your sleeves. My question to you tonight is, are you ready to roll up your sleeves and start doing something about it? I have no idea what it may be, but I know we all have room for improvements. But no improvements are going to happen. We can stand there and look at it and say, well, it's going to be a lot of work. But until we make that declaration, let's do it. That's when it'll happen. That's where we're at here tonight. That's where we're at in Calvary Lighthouse Church. God is making improvements in the lives of his believers. He's preparing an army for these last days, an army that marches to his command and his voice, not that lives their own lives or lives after their own pleasures, but they live after him. If you're here tonight, you're ready to roll up your sleeves and you're ready for improvement. These altars are open. These altars are open.